wazobona wazobuka wazobona wazobuka izodlala iTV
uzaphe ah rage ngeke idlale iTV if you love iDisc and don't have iDS. That's why you should get DStv Compact so you can view live festive and super disc with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DStv Compact. Hey, kumnandi khaya.
Welcome to the big interview brought to you by DStv Compact. As the league season plays out its final 2 months, the relegation battle reaches its boiling point. But who will gain automatic promotion to the PSL and avoid a tough playoff tie? We'll take a look at the GLAAD Africa Championship log and you'll see Ajax Cape Town in striking distance of that 3 million rand cash prize and an immediate return to the PSL. We're joined by the caretaker coach Calvin Marlin to get the lowdown on how they plan to see out the rest of the season and look at areas in which they can improve before a potential return to top flight. I'm your host Slu Paho and this is Soccer La Duma Radio.
Soccer La Duma Radio.
Who will be Dikakapatsa Diski on the APSA Premiership? Bula Super Diski to find out. Catch over 200 APSA Premiership matches all live and in HD only on SuperSport. Don't miss any action. Bula Diski on DStv Compact. Kumnande Kaya. All right, Calvin, so with 7 games left, you are 5 points clear at the top of the GLAAD Africa Championship. Does this set your mind at ease or does it make you feel the pressure a lot more?
Well, I mean, we're in the same position we were in last week. So, you know, from our point of view, obviously, the longer it stays like that, the better for us. So, yeah, you know, when people lose games, they start worrying and then you see other teams also going to drop points. So it's just a matter of keep doing what you're doing and, you know, everything else will take care of itself.
And 4 out of 6 of the matches remaining are at home. Oh, sorry, 4 out of 7 are at home. But looking at your form this season, oddly enough, it's been fairly even home and away. How have you guys managed to stay resilient on the road, picking up some pretty big victories, sometimes coming from behind?
Yeah, our form at home hasn't been that good. I think, you know, for a number of factors, mainly when teams come, they sit a bit deeper and try and catch us on the counter. And we got caught out quite a few times because we play very open and expansive football. And then when you play them at home, they also want to play a bit more. So, you know, our home form hasn't been that great. But overall, I think we can't complain.
Yeah, and it's definitely been a bumpy ride this season. How would you describe your form overall so far heading into this final stretch?
The form's been a little bit up and down, I think. I mean, we've had, I think, 3 losses now in the last 7 or so. And that's not including the cup, you know, we claim it as a draw, but you lose on penalties. So it's been either wins or losses with us most of the season. I think we've only really got 3 draws the whole year. So, you know, if we'll take 2 wins and a loss because it gives us more points.
Definitely. You have the top scorer, Mosia Tlaga, on 16 goals this season. He's moved around quite a bit from Vista Stelly. He's back again, and now he's on fire. What has been the key to unlocking his goal-scoring form this season, and who do you have around him who are making him shine that much brighter?
I mean, he's made some better decisions. He's taken responsibility on himself to shoot more. Also, the way we play, we put our wingers into the one-on-one situations, and they've taken advantage of him on the left, Tabo on the right. They've been very creative and influential for us. Obviously, he's scoring a lot more. Tabo is a lot more of a creator. The movement of Elazar, I think some people underestimate what he can do off the ball at times. Sometimes those little balls in the air, the flick-ons, or pulling defenders out the way. The creativity of Grant, giving him good balls from the midfield. Things like that. So, you know, there's a number of factors that add up, but I think it's also him. He took it on himself to be a bit more responsible in front of goal.
Not many people have gotten to see Ajax Cape Town play on TV. How would you describe your style of play? What type of not just formation setup, but what type of movement do you prefer as a team?
Yeah, I mean, we want to keep the ball. We're patient in the build-up, maybe a little bit too patient for some people. They want to see us be a lot more aggressive going forward. We're a lot more patient on the ball. We're trying to move the ball around. We realize we've got enough time in the game to create chances. And we normally do create 5-6 good chances in the match. It's just a matter of do we take them or not. So, you know, we're not going to change the style. We're a ball-playing team. Not really the long physical ball up front. we like to keep the ball and move teams around.
And you guys have been in those high-scoring matches. An interesting stat, actually, is that you've scored a league-high 43 goals, but also conceded 33, and actually only Royal Eagles have a worse defensive record. In those tight matches, you know, you've been on the touchline this whole season. Explain your feelings on the touchline in those close games where you have to kind of fight it out and really grind out the result.
Yeah, I think it's one of those things where we dominate in certain areas, we don't score, and then we concede. And then all of a sudden the boys spark up again. So a little bit of one of those frustrating things as a coach. I think that we don't go out there and just dominate and score three or four and win the game easy. It's never been one of those seasons for us. We always tend to have a lot of the game, concede, and then we have to come back and, you know, we ended up winning a lot of games. And I said to the boys, that's not always going to happen in football, which is exactly what happened on last weekend against Omoyo.
In that Cape Derby, actually.
Yeah.
In the rest of the season and potentially the off season, how would you like to go about strengthening up that defense? And I know it's a limited time until the end of the season, but where do you see holes? Where do you see areas you can fix?
Well, for us now, we already try to identify that maybe we don't play as expansive as we were, with everybody pretty much just bombing forward and getting caught a lot on the counters. You know, it's making defenders realize that, hey, their first job is to defend. We'll let the strikers, we'll create enough chances for the strikers to score. At the end of the day, if that doesn't happen, at least we try and keep that clean sheet, because we can win games 1-0. We don't always have to win 4-3, 3-2, 2-1. So from that point of view, we just try to get them to realize, hey, they've got a job to do as well as the strikers. And then for next season, the club will already start planning. They're sort of start looking around to see where in the squad we need to strengthen. That's something the club will have to decide. And also it depends on what's happening next year with the club, with new coaches or whatever it is they decide to do.
And there's been plenty already in the news cycle about Hans Frank and Andries Ulderink, but I wanted to ask specifically, how difficult was it to keep the players focused with that type of tension behind the scenes?
No, I don't think the players knew much about what was going on behind the scenes. I think it was more in the upper management realms. I mean, us as coaches, we didn't perceive anything towards the players about what was going on behind the scenes. We try to keep them out of the loop as much as possible. I mean, I think that's only really what they would have probably heard within the news cycles, or maybe a whisper or two in the passages. But there was nothing really going on that everybody could see. There was maybe something happening in the background.
And from a coaching perspective, you know, you won your first match in charge. Do you change anything about the gameplay, or do you just keep the momentum that you had going?
No, what we decided at the club was just to keep things going as they were. To change things now, to bring in a whole new philosophy or something, would really mess up everything that they've done, because the previous coach, it was a year and a half's work that he put in to get the team close to where they are now. So to change everything now would be, I think, a stupid move from us to try and do something new with the players. So we just continue with what he left off, everything, all that hard work he put in over the months. We just continue with that.
Now, recently there were obvious links with Benny McCarthy joining the team as head coach, but that's since been put to bed. They're sticking with you until the end of their campaign. I'd like to ask, do you hope to be head coach come next season? And regardless of whether you are or not, would you still be a part of that camp moving into potentially the PSL?
Yeah, me and my future has always been pragmatic from the point of view that, you know, it depends on what the bosses want. At the moment, I'm happy where I am. I love the club Ajax, and if I get to stay, I get to stay. If I need to leave because they bring in a new coach and I need to leave, then that's football. That's how life works as a football coach. But for me at the moment, the way things are, I'm just concentrating on now. I'm not thinking too much about tomorrow, because once I do that, that's when you tend to slip up. So at the moment for me, I'm not really thinking too much about what's happening in the next 3 months ahead of me.
How important is it, or what do you bring to the table as a former Ajax player yourself, a former player in general? What does that add to your abilities as a coach, being able to connect with the players?
Well, the thing is, I can speak to them about how I understand how they feel. I understand how things happen on the field. There's moments in the game that they feel under pressure where it's not really the case, or if things just aren't going your way, not to get on top of each other, that you keep playing the game. And you know, unfortunately about this game and sport in general, sometimes the better team doesn't win. It's just how it is. You know, you can play the other team off the pitch, but if you don't score, you don't win goals. And if you keep conceding certain goals, you're also not going to win goals and win championships. So for me, you know, bringing that experience into the team just to remind them of what you do every day of training ends up happening on the field. And if you're going to mess around, then, you know, you're not going to get anywhere in life, especially in the life of a footballer, because people quickly forget you in football. Just one or two seasons of bad performances, you disappear here in South African football.
I would agree. And it is interesting to me, seeing Ajax return, I do think that the legacy of Ajax Cape Town hasn't been diminished. But, you know, obviously missing out on a year of PSL has an impact. But what do you think Ajax's return means for the city of Cape Town and also just reviving that legacy?
Yeah, I mean, for the city of Cape Town, I think it's massive. I mean, Ajax has always generated a lot of good players over the years. I always say to the bosses, I mean, if you have to bring back all the players that are still playing in the PSL today, I'm sure that Ajax team will win the league. It's just, unfortunately, with Ajax, with the model is we sell our best players, sometimes a little bit too early, but that's how the model's been at Ajax all the years. So I think going forward, it's massive for especially the younger players in our club that we have, especially the NBC team, the PSL, something to aim for like that. Again, we can add more youngsters into the group, and then they have another stepping stone, especially like NBC level and besides the ABC level. So for our players, it's massive that we get up into the PSL again.
And, you know, the PSL now has the mouth-watering possibility of three teams in the Western Cape. It's a little political, but there was a lot made about whether or not which team should be playing in Cape Town City versus Athlone Stadium. Do you think that, you know, this potential to have Cape Town Stadium packed possibly six times a season, given that it's Sundowns, it's Pirates, it's Chiefs who have to make trips here. Do you think that that'll kind of reinvigorate faith in football in this province?
Yeah, I think the day that the clubs here in Cape Town actually come together and work together instead of fighting each other will be better for Cape Town football. At the end of the day, I mean, we're all in it to achieve something in football, and if you're going to fight each other, I mean, then football in Cape Town is not going to go anywhere further. So, you know, we think back to the old days when we used to play, there were sometimes double headers, and then it was great to play at stadiums. It just depends. I think the league doesn't allow maybe double headers, but if they could bring back something like that, especially for a town like Cape Town, Friday night or Saturday games are massive here in Cape Town. So, you know, if we can generate more interest through that and bringing in better players, bringing up better players from the area, then that'll be better for football in Cape Town.
And lastly, this is a bit out of left field, but I'd like to end on a positive note. If you were a betting man, who would you put your money on to win the PSL this season, given that you're not involved in the PSL just yet? Chiefs or Sundowns?
My money's on Sundowns. I think with them getting knocked out of the Africa Cup, then they're going to rest their players better. They'll refocus again on the league. So my money's on them to come back. I think every team gets a wobble in a season. I think they've had their little wobble, whereas Chiefs seems like they're getting close to that wobble, and we'll see if they can turn things around. And also the pressures, Sundowns are used to the pressures of being up there. Chiefs haven't done it for a while. So for me, money's on Sundowns
going back to back. Well, thank you very much for joining me on the show, Kelvin. All the best with Ajax Cape Town for the rest of the season. Hopefully we see the boys in red and white back in the league come August.
Yeah, that'll be great.
Well, that is how we wrap up the big interview brought to you by DSTV Compact. Another big thank you to Ajax Cape Town coach Kelvin Marlin. From myself, your host Slu Paho, and my editors Simon Strella and Aiden Hewitt, have a fantastic day.
If you love it, Disc and don't have it, DS. That's why you should get DSTV Compact, so you can rely festive and super disky with PSL matches midweek and Sundays only on SuperSport on DSTV Compact. Hey, kumnandi ekhaya.